be seated. And let's invite Sarah up, who's going to bring us the word today, or just a testimony word. So it's pretty exciting.
Wasn't Georgia amazing up there singing? I was so proud. I was like, that's my little princess up there. Yay! And Olive did really good too. So Brent asked me on Friday night to speak, which was really scary. He kind of didn't really give me a choice, kind of like, you know, you're doing it. But God called me years ago to write my life and to share it and help news to, you know, help other people. But I've been really scared to do that because it means being really exposed, and I'm not that keen to do that. But I know that that's what God's called me to do, so that's what I'm going to do. So I prayed and asked God what to speak on today, and I was really hoping that he'd let me go with the story from the Bible that I wanted, which is, I don't know the name, I can't pronounce it, but I really love that story about the woman, and she's in her tent, and the guy from the enemy comes, and he wants to hide in her tent, and she basically puts a tent peg through his head, and I like that story. I wanted to I wanted to share that. But God said no. He said, talk about fear and about the control it's had over your life, and basically give a bit of a testimony. So that's what I'm doing. So fear can be really crippling. It can completely stop you from living at all, and that's kind of what I experienced in my life. You know, fear is a tool that Satan uses against us because he knows it will hold us down. But it says in John 10 that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came so that they could have life and have it in abundance. God gave his son to die for us so that we could have a life and live it. But for a long time, basically most of my life, I didn't have life and I wasn't living it. I was alive, I was existing, but that was it. So even as a little kid, I was controlled by fear. I was kept prisoner, just in a living hell, really. You know, as a kid, I was terrified of everything. I was raised to believe in God, but I knew mostly about the fact that I wasn't good enough and that I was a sinner and that there was hell, and I didn't really understand about God's love and forgiveness. Yeah, so just got to look at my notes. Yeah, so I was scared of everything as a little kid. I was terrified of the dark. I was terrified of people. I was terrified of my teachers and men and my sisters. You know, at night, I hated night. I couldn't sleep because I was so afraid. I would lay in my bed and just wait for the light to come so I could try and get a couple of hours sleep before I had to get up again. I would be so afraid that I'd be literally shaking with fear. And it was just horrible. I was exhausted all the time, and I was only a little kid. Mum had always told me that Satan hates the sound of praise in the name of Jesus. And so even though I was terrified, I would try and just say Jesus. I would just lay in bed and whisper Jesus, Jesus, Jesus over and over again, trying to make whatever was scaring me go away. And it did bring me comfort. It helped me get through the nights, and I felt like God was there, but I didn't really understand or know how he was there. And I just thought throughout this, I'm just going to quote lots of scriptures that I found about fear. So Isaiah 41 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You know, looking back, I can see that he was with me. He was with me every night. He was there in the dark while I was terrified. He was there in every place, but I just couldn't really understand it. I didn't get the full comfort of him being there. And it made me think of the song, "What a Friend Do We Have in Jesus." He was and is my friend. He was and is with me. I just didn't really know it then. But I thought I would read some of the words from the song because the words are so amazing. "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I wish I had understood the words of that song when I was young and I had grasped it and been able to just take everything to God in prayer and lived my life in his amazing grace and just knowing what I was meant to be, but I didn't do that. You know, we have an enemy and he seeks to destroy us. A lady called Shelley Beach, I said to Brent, I'm not going to say this, but I have to because it just, every time I say it, who calls their kid Shelley Beach? Go on. If your last name's Beach, call her Susie or something. Shelley, it was terrible. But she said, Satan's goal is to deafen us to God's voice so that we embrace his thinking as easily and naturally as if it were God's. And I think that is so true. He fills our heads with so much confusion and so many lies that it drowns out God's voice and we hear his voice so much more clearly. I know I always was so quick to believe every negative thing that I was told about myself. I was told a lot of negative things about myself, but I believed them. I believed that I was unworthy and worthless and ugly and too short and too fat and too dumb and couldn't do anything. And so I let that shape my life. You know, I grew more fearful as I got older. It just got worse and worse because of things that I went through and things that I was told. By the time I was 17, I couldn't use a phone or go into a shop. I couldn't get on a bus by myself. I couldn't talk to people. I couldn't look at people. I was just so ashamed of myself and insecure about who I was that even when I was with my, I sort of had one friend and one sister that I spent my time with, and they would stand in front of me everywhere we went, and I would keep my head down with my hair in my face because I felt unworthy. And they would get angry and say, you know, people look through us to you all the time. And I thought, oh, see, I'm still doing something wrong. I've got to hide myself more. But I didn't know how. And I did everything I possibly could. You know, I didn't talk. I didn't do anything. I was just frightened of everything. You know, I was just completely crippled by fear. And it just got worse and worse as I got older. And that fear completely controlled what happened in my life. So when I was 17, my mum convinced me that I should stop working because I had been working since I was 12 as a nanny. And I had been taking all the money I earned and giving it to mum so that she could make the mortgage and things because my dad was out of work and had been for years and she was working three jobs and we still weren't getting by. So I started working as well. But mum said it was about time I did something for me. So because I love art, she insisted I went on this art course. And, you know, as a 17-year-old, you'd think I would love this freedom, going off to art school, meeting new people, but I was just terrified. In fact, so much so that I tricked my friend. I got an application form, posted it to her in the mail with the box ticked for a fine arts course, and pretended they had requested her there. And she fell for it. So she said to me, oh, I'm going to do this art course. And I was like, really? What one is it? And I was like, me too. Isn't that funny? So the first day of school, even though I was terrified, I had my friend with me. We went to art school together. And to this day, I've never told her that I did that. But it was really good for me. But, you know, I was still scared even with her beside me. So I sat with my head down. I wouldn't look at the people around me. And I wouldn't join in with the introductory things. She kind of introduced me and talked for me because I was too scared to do it. And on that course, there was a guy who was a few years older than me. He was 21. And it's funny because all the girls there liked him except me. They were all throwing themselves at him and he didn't respond to that. Instead, one day he rings me up out of the blue and says, oh, you're going to the movies with me. I'll be there to pick you up soon. And I was scared. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. So I just said, oh, okay. And he turned up to get me. I had been out of school since I was 12 years old. I had spent all my time at home looking after babies and doing housework and learning to cook. I had been told I would be nothing more than a mother, as if that was something lowly, but actually being a mother, I think, is an amazing thing. So I had no social skills, no idea how to deal with a man. I didn't know what to say or do. So he came and picked me up and went to the movies. I didn't talk, I didn't look at him, but that didn't matter. He decided from that day on that I belonged to him, and he never left me alone again. So by the time I was 18, I had moved into a little flat with my little son that I had by then, who was just the most gorgeous little thing, like the light of my life. And I would have been happy living in a flat with just him. But his father moved in unannounced, and I was too scared to say anything, so I just let it happen. So this little place that was supposed to be our little paradise became a prison. We were trapped with this man who abused us and took everything that should have been for my baby and spent it on drugs. And I was so scared, I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't know what to do when he told my parents that we were getting married, even though he'd never asked me. And my parents decided to throw me a wedding without asking me if I wanted it. So at 19, newly pregnant with my second son, I walked up the aisle and married a man I was terrified of, a man I did not want to marry, because I was just too scared to say anything. I was a coward, I couldn't speak up for myself, and I believed that I deserved nothing better than what I was getting. So life just continued on that way. He very quickly isolated me, stopped me having friends. I wasn't allowed to see my family unless he said so. I wasn't allowed to leave the house. He controlled what I wore, what I did, what I watched. I couldn't go to the bathroom with the door shut because he was convinced I would lean out the window and have an affair with the neighbour. I don't even know if the neighbour was a man. Could have been a woman. Isaiah 43:1 says, "Don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." God actually commands us not to fear or worry. The phrase "fear not" is used at least 80 times in the Bible. God knows that the enemy uses fear to decrease our hope and limit our victories. And he sure used that with me. You know, I tried my best to protect my kids from what was going on. I made it a fun thing to hide. We would create tents in little corners and hide in under teddy bears, and I pretended it was a game, but it was really just to keep them safe. You know, within the next 8 years, I had two more kids and was abused on a daily basis. It was like he had a checklist of every possible way to abuse a person, and he made sure he ticked every one of those boxes every single day. But I was too scared to tell anyone or do anything. In fact, when people would say something, like my mum said to me one day, Ezra broke down crying when he was 2 years old, and he said, "Daddy hurts mummy." And I said to her, "Oh, he probably mistook it. You know, it's not true." Because I was too scared to say, actually, it's true and I need help, because I didn't believe they could help me. He used fear to keep me prisoner by telling me that he had heard enough by keeping quiet in my house when we had lived in my mother's home, that he knew things that no one else should know, and that if I dared to try and leave, he would tell everybody and destroy people's lives. So I thought, well, I can't leave. How selfish of me to leave. So I stayed until one night I had a dream. I dreamt that I was in this huge white mansion, and it was so beautiful, and there was this table, a massive banquet spread, and there was a few other people there, and they were sort of like, "Oh, do we eat the food? Are we here for the banquet?" But I just kept thinking, no, we're not supposed to yet. I'm sure we're supposed to wait. So I sort of moved back from the group and stood back in the corner, and then the owner of the mansion walked in. And he was so beautiful, and he was shining white. And he said, "It's not time for the feast yet." He said, "There's still work to be done." And he said, "I need a leader." And I thought, well, this definitely isn't me. So I stepped back into the shadows. But then he pushed through everybody else, and he came to me, and he said, "It's you. I need you." And I thought, no, you don't. Why would you want me? But he said, "No, I need you." And he grabbed my hand, and he pulled me out into the light, and he said, "You're going to have to go on a journey." And I said, "But what about my kids?" And he said, "It's okay. They're coming, and I'm coming with you." So he took us outside, and there was this beat-up old car. And he put us in this beat-up old car, and he got in the passenger seat, and he was driving beside me. And then I woke up, and I just knew that he was telling me that I had to go. By then, I had my first little girl, and she was just the most amazing thing, and yet he hated her so much. And I was so afraid that he was going to kill her. And so I decided to run. So we went to Australia, where we went from place to place, being abused by people who should have been supporting us. And then he followed us there. And after the police had to drag him away one night, we decided to come back to New Zealand. and he followed us back. So it just felt like there was no escape. I divorced him. I got a restraining order. I tried to get free, but it didn't stop him. So then after I had divorced him, I had another little boy who, of course, I am really glad that I have all my kids. And if I had to relive everything all over again to have them, I would. You know, I am so grateful for them. I just wish they hadn't had to live the life they have. And so I started to really understand that God wanted me, and I started to really push into God. I had to do it in secret because I wasn't allowed. It was a crime in my house to read the Bible or to tell the kids about God. So I would do it secretly. I wanted my kids to know the truth. I wanted them to live for God. And we would pray together. And as I did this more and more, God started to give me strength. And the fear started to, it was there, but it wasn't as powerful as it had been. And one day I just decided, if he kills me, I've still got to try. So I walked into the police station and I was so scared. And a guy came to the counter and I was just sort of, I can't talk to a guy, I can't look at a guy. I was terrified of them. And he kept saying, can I help you? And then I finally just said, I want to talk to a woman. And so he brought me through and he brought out this woman. And I know God's hand was on it because she had a scar running down her face, like here. And as soon as I said to her, I just want some advice on how to keep him away without aggravating him, she said, I know what you're going through. She said, I had to fight through court to save my daughter. Her father did this to my face. And I thought, oh, wow, she gets it. This is great. So she took me upstairs, and she was really clever. She knew I was scared and that I would back away if she didn't move quickly. So within half an hour, I found myself in the woman's refuge with my five kids thinking, how did I get here? Like, this went really quick. And she just moved really fast, but she was so amazing. And then a detective came on board and she was amazing. And these women, neither one of them were Christians, but they got around me and they brought us food when we had none, and they were there for us every step of the way. You know, they were so faithful, and I know that God brought them. I would never have got through it if he hadn't given me these two ladies. You know, and we spent a year prepping for court, doing evidence things, having the kids interviewed, going through psychiatrists, having to give evidence, and it was absolutely horrible. It is so horrible to have to give details about your life, to have to talk in detail about things that were done to you, things that destroyed your soul that you don't want to tell other people about. It was devastating to find out that my son had seen things no little boy should ever have to see happen to his mother. You know, that broke my heart more than anything. He had stood by my side and been with me. Every time I had tried to make their father leave our house, he had stood next to me. He had stood next to me when his father had been horrible to the other kids, and he had told him to leave, knowing that it could put him in danger. He had never left my side. He was so strong. He protected his brothers. He protected his sister. And then we finally got to the refuge. I watched him fall apart. He crumbled and became completely unable to do anything anymore. I think he just got to the point where he couldn't cope with anything. He couldn't go to school anymore. I was afraid to leave him alone. And that was the worst, worst thing out of everything, to see the damage that it had done to my boy. You know, but I'm seeing God restore that. He is restoring my children. They may not be perfect yet, but they are now doing things that I never thought possible. They are growing into the bees, some amazing people. You know, and I always wanted lots of kids. When I was young, I decided I wanted 10 kids. I was going to have I was going to have twins. There was going to be boys. Then I was going to have twin girls. Then I was going to have triplet boys and then triplet girls. But that never happened, thankfully. But I still wanted lots of kids, and I really wanted more girls. So when I got the gift of two more girls, I was so happy. And my daughter was so happy that she now had two sisters. It has been one of the best gifts that God could give me, is these two more little girls. It's such a pleasure to have girls to hang out with and do things with. And my daughter said, finally, I get to watch girl movies. Because she had always watched Lego and, you know, Transformers and things like that. So she's been really blessed by having these sisters. And it's just such a cool thing. But even that has been a journey. But God has been with us through all of it. You know, going through court was really difficult. And on the first time I walked in there, I felt like I couldn't go back. They ripped me apart on the stand. I had no idea that the lawyer can call you anything he wants as long as he says first, I put it to you. So he put it to me that I am a lying whore. He put it to me that I am manipulative and that I did all this just to be vindictive and get someone who had done nothing wrong. And that was so hard because I thought that I was doing this to save my kids. But according to him, I was just this really horrible person. And I walked out of there on the first day and just collapsed. And I thought, there is no possible way I can go back. I cannot face going in there again. And the lawyer said to me, if you don't go back in there, he will walk free. Your kids will be in danger. And this whole year of all that you've gone through will be for nothing. And so I just said, God, I can't do this. If you want me to do this, you're going to have to help me because there is no possible way I can go back. And then I almost felt like a robot. It was like something picked me up and walked me back in those doors. And for 3 days straight, I testified on the stand and I answered every question and I just told the truth. And then I walked out and wondered, how did I just do that? I couldn't have done that without God. I know that he took control of me and that he got me through all that. God is amazing. He will be there for you. And it didn't seem to matter how frightened I was. He loved me and accepted me anyway. You know, years ago, I was told that I would be up in front of people speaking. And back then, I couldn't even talk. I couldn't be near a man. I couldn't look at people. And I thought, this lady's crazy. Because clearly, I'm not going to be talking in front of people. But I am. And I'm finally listening to God, and I'm in the process of writing a book about my life. And it's been really hard because there's things I don't want to say. There's things I don't want people to know. There's things that I feel like, even though I didn't make the choice for them, I feel like it's still my fault and I'm ashamed. And it's really hard to write all that and put it out there. But I know it's what God's telling me to do, and I just know that if it helps one person who's in the situation that I was in, then it's all worth it. Because God can restore, he can bring freedom and healing. You know, and one really cool thing is when my eldest boy fell apart, his brother stepped up. When he had to testify on the stand and the lawyer ripped him apart, he went home and just cried his eyes out. And his brother looked at him and said, how dare he do that to him? And so when he went to court, he let them have it. And I was so shocked because I didn't know he had that in him. But he just had an answer for everything. Even, you know, their father had tried to say that he had read them stories. And he said, tell me the names of them then. And he tried to tell names. He goes, well, for one thing, you didn't even get the names right. The books were this, this, and this, and Mum read them to us. And he said, and you know how we know that was definitely Mum? Because she got all the words wrong. She made it up because she's dyslexic. And I thought, yes, finally it worked in my favour being dyslexic. But it was really cool to see how they wanted to protect each other. They may fight amongst themselves sometimes, but when it comes to it, they are really protective and loving. And I love that about them. And they have just loved having more sisters. You know, the boys pretend that they're all strong and hard, but the second they see one of the girls cry, they want to fix it. A couple of nights ago, Seth and Gabriel took Kaya to the movies, and it was because Gabriel said, I just feel like Kaya's been a bit sad, so I'm going to take her to the movies. That's the heart in them that I love, and that's what God is doing in them. I can see that he has protected them from all this hate and anger that they were surrounded by, and he has let them have hearts of love and compassion for other people. You know, Deuteronomy 31:8 says, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For so long I was afraid and discouraged. But the more I look at things and the more I press into God, the more I see that he has never left me. He has never left my kids. And he is restoring everything that was taken from us. Years ago, I had it prophesied over me that everything the locusts had eaten would be restored to me, and so much better than it had been. And that same day, I had someone tell me that my husband one day would be a worship leader. And I thought, wow, he's going to get saved, and he's actually going to get on stage and sing. And I really believed it was going to happen, and I kept praying for that. And so it took me a long time to realize God wasn't going to make new this horrible old thing I had. He was going to give me something so much better. And he has done that. You know, I now have Brent, who's a worship leader. And he is amazing for my kids. He has brought so much healing to their lives. And we are just so blessed to now be a family and to have someone who cares about us. And I just know if God can restore my life and bring faith where there was fear, he can do it for anybody. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect now and I don't still get frightened, because we're still facing things because of what the kids have been through. They haven't all gone to school. Two of them at the moment haven't been to school for 2 years, and I'm having to deal with a lot of agencies and try and get help for them, and it can be really difficult, and I do get scared sometimes. But I have to keep reminding myself that God was with me through everything else I've been through, and he's going to be with me through this, and he protected my kids, and he's not going to leave them now. So I know that even though it looks like things aren't that great, that he is going to bring healing and restoration. So I just wanted to share this declaration, because I have a book with declarations that you read out, and this is one of my favorite. It says, I declare I would choose faith over fear. I will meditate on what is positive and what is good about my situation. I will use my energy not to worry but to believe. I will not dwell on negative, discouraging thoughts. My mind is set on what God says about me. I know his plan for me is for victory, success, and abundance. And I know that is so true, because God is bringing all of those things. I have so much freedom in my life from what I had before. Brent allows me to shut the door when I go to the toilet. That's pretty cool. In fact, I've been doing CrossFit and I'm loving it. And there'll be things come up and I'll say to Brent, oh, they're having a drink here. Do you think it'd be okay if I go? And he goes, yeah, of course, go, have fun. And that just still blows me away today, because I never had freedom like that before. And to have someone say, yep, you go and have fun, I'll see if I can get some money for it, just is so amazing. You know, I just feel so blessed. God is so faithful. And I want anyone out there to know that if your life is controlled by fear, God can set you free. If you want it, ask him and he will bring freedom. And I'm not saying it happens overnight. I had to go on a journey. Sometimes he does just click his fingers, it's done. And sometimes he takes you on a journey, but you become a stronger person because of it. What was meant for evil, God used for good. That's from Joseph's story. Joseph in the coloured dream coat, not Mary's husband. But I know God used that same thing for me. So I just want to encourage you, if anyone out there is struggling with fear and you'd like some prayer, you know, you're welcome to come up the front and get prayer, and there'll be people to pray with you over on the side. I just really encourage you, if you have fear, let God come and free you from it. Thank you.